This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Thunder. We've got some awesome trade proposals that Dave's been working on. And we're looking at another player. So the player we're going to be talking about today is Davion Mitchell. He's Donovan Mitchell's brother. He's an excellent player. He has a lot of really, really good qualities. At first, when I looked at his age, I thought, well, that doesn't seem like it will fit into our, you know, process of picking players that are really young. But in the end, by the time I was done watching the film, I really fell in love with him. I think he's going to be an excellent player. And I think other teams are going to be trying to avoid him, for one of the main reasons being that they think he's kind of like on the older side, and that's why he has a chance to fall. And that's why I think that he could be a really good pickup, because there could be a really good value in taking Davion Mitchell.
Man, if Davion Mitchell falls, it will be the biggest shame of the draft. The reality is he's one of those guards that I really get excited about. Obviously, when you have a brother that is as good as his brother is in the NBA for Utah, in the number one team in the West right now, you have to give him a little bit of more consideration. What he did against Gonzaga to win the championship was unbelievable. What he did against Houston to get to the championship, what he did against Arkansas, like, these are the games that I look at, that I watched him play in the NCAA tournament, that I was blown away with the size of his maturity and the way that he was able to handle himself. Yes, he was 2 or 3 years older than most of the kids he was playing with, but the reality is this guy knows how to play basketball. He is a very much of a hype guy. He gets incredibly excited. Looking at him, the way that he plays defense and in your face, super hyped up when he makes a big play or the team gets a big stop, he is always going at it. It reminds me of Patrick Beverley. There's a lot of different guys that you can try to compare him with that are in the league that play defense and that are offensive issues as well for them. But I look at him as being one of those guards that could average 14 to 16 points a game in the NBA, if not more, but be one of those massive shutdown guys in the NBA. He swept the defensive awards this year, won all three defensive awards, major awards there. He is known as one of the best defenders in the league. I have to say, he has to be number one or number two for me. We've seen a couple other really good defenders and talked about him on here. But the reality is because he is 22 and the other guys are younger, I think that there is an opportunity for him to fall, like Mark said. But it would be a shame if he ended up falling. Let's just talk about some of the things I really like about what he does right. His on-the-ball defense is so stinking elite. It may be the best defensive asset that he does is playing on the ball. It's truly amazing. The lateral movement that he does is insane as well. He can always stay in front of that ball. That won't be his issue in the NBA, is staying in front of that ball on defense. The way that he has the massively explosive first step is going to be a major asset in the NBA. You need a first step like he has to make your moves work in the NBA. If you can have an explosive first step, you can learn a jump shot. You can learn a pull up. You can learn a fadeaway. You can learn the dribble through. All these things that you can do if you just learn that first step. Do I think that he could be a Damian Lillard type player, like the way that he plays? Like, that is high praise right there, but he could break out. If this guy has the right, goes to the right team and plays for the right coach, he could be one of those players that we look back and say, how in the world did he drop to blank? And there should have been no way he should have ever dropped that low. He is just unbelievable. High upside on his shooting. I want to say this, is that 44.7% from three-pointer this year for college ball. Last year, it was 32.4. And the first year that he played, his freshman year, it was 28.8. So you see the improvement there. His first freshman year, 3.7 points a game. His sophomore year, 9.9. In his junior year, 14 points a game. He has upped everything. You see the improvement on every single stat. That's stealing, that's blocks, that's assist, that's rebounds. There is improvement across the board. Shooting percentages, how many three-pointers he's making, minutes a game, field goal percentage. I mean, there is everything that you need to see for a big-time NBA prospect. He is definitely showing that he could be one of those guys. The fact that he led his team to a championship this year should be huge. I think this guy should go 7, 8, 9. That's where he should go. But will he? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's got elite quickness and really good size for his position for how quick he is. At 6'2", having that elite quickness is really important. He reminds me a little bit when you see him play of kind of like Kemba Walker. But in the end, obviously, I think his ceiling is going to be much higher. His ability to shoot is unquestioned. I mean, and he's got such a solid shot. There's no doubt he's going to be really deadly in the pick and roll. Anytime a defender goes underneath the screener, he's going to really make him pay. So his defensive effort is obviously, it's there. The question is, how is he going to do when he defends bigger players? But how will bigger players do when they're defending him also? Because of that elite quickness, he's going to be able to create separation. He can finish at the hole. His mid-range game is really solid. And he seems to be a really, really good leader. At first, I really questioned the idea of, like, you know, someone playing their junior year in college and us being willing to take a look at them at this point in our rebuild. But you know, by the end of it, I'm just telling you, like, this guy has what it takes to be an all-star. And I think he probably will be. I also think that probably about half the people who are drafted in front of him won't be all-stars. So, you know, at the same time, I'll tell you, when I'm looking at each one of these guys, they have the potential to be an all-star. So I'm not going to be the person who can tell you the difference between the ones that will and won't be. That's going to be time. But in the end, I think he will be an all-star, and I do think that he's going to have a chance to be better than a number of the people who are drafted in front of him. So that thing will always exist. It'll always be, can you believe he slipped this far? I remember with, like, Steph Curry, right? He wasn't offered any major Division I schools. That's why he went to Davidson. And then his brother, you know, he had the same problem, and he went to Liberty for at least a year before he went to Duke. And he earned his way to get a scholarship at Duke. But for some reason, you know, giving the Curry brothers scholarships wasn't really high on the list of things to do for elite schools. And, you know, Donovan Mitchell, he slipped in the draft. And pretty much, you know, three quarters of the NBA have to look at it and say, like, we could have had him. And Davion Mitchell probably won't slip as far as his brother did. But I would say that, you know, there's a chance he could fall all the way to, like, a 7, 8, 9. If, you know, if things go right, we could have a situation where we could either trade back or trade up to get him. I'm not exactly, you know, I don't think anybody's sure what's going to happen with the ping pong balls, but that will have a lot to do with it. But I'm telling you right now, this guy has all-star potential, and if you're a Thunder fan, you want this guy on your team, and wherever he goes, he's going to have a lot of diehard fans. He's just an excellent player. He plays with a lot of heart, and just from watching his college film, I'm telling you, you know, I really feel like this guy is going to just, like, make arenas go fucking crazy.
Absolutely, man. The way that he plays defense, the way that he hits the big shots when needed, and the way that he reacts will make people definitely love him. The reality is that, obviously, like I have said very often, is that when you get a player coming in the draft, especially not a top five player, you know, unless they just blow you away with their talent and they make it known, like Bazley, that they don't belong in the G League. I have to say this about him is Davion Mitchell is one of those guys I don't think needs time in the G League. What he needs is a lot of time in the weight room, trying to get physically ready to play against these NBA point guards. Obviously, he can play physical in college ball, but he needs to learn how to translate that into the pros, because if you can't play physical as a point guard and undersized at 6'2", then you know you're going to get left out of a lot of things. Look at Patrick Beverley. Look at the other 6'2" point guards, Kemba Walker. They have this insane physical prowess about them, and you have to have that chip on your shoulder and be very physical. I think he could do that, and if he does, he could be one of those guys that we look at and seriously get excited about. But he's one of the few guys that I would say that is ready to play in the NBA right now, doesn't need G League time, and I think it's just really cool to say that there's a player like this. Obviously, he plays in the Big 12, so we've had a ton of time to scout him. I mean, a ton of time. Obviously, OU plays in the Big 12, and OSU plays in the Big 12, so we got to see him twice against Cade, also twice against OU. It was really great. I think that this guy could definitely make a huge impact on an NBA team. Right now, obviously, we'd be talking about 7th, 8th man coming off that Thunder bench, but he could move up that ranks on that bench really, really fast.
Yeah, his final year of college, he shot 44% from deep. I really do think he's a better three-point shooter than his brother. That's complete speculation because, you know, I'm just going based on his mechanics and the way that the ball seemed to go in. But, like, doing it in college and doing it in the NBA is so different that I really shouldn't make that level of an assumption, but I'm just going to go with it. So, anyway, his shot mechanics are very, very good. And the other thing is, I think he's more of like a true point guard than his brother. His brother likes to play off the ball, and so they generally like to have a different guy play the point position, whether it's Mike Conley or whoever they have in that position. So I think that that kind of makes it different. And I look at his game a little bit like a cross between like a Jrue Holiday and a Bledsoe. Those two guys, I think, have like really good point guard instincts. They play very aggressive. They always like to play downhill, but they also stay within themselves and they stay in control. So, you know, I think he has a chance to be better than that. But also the question of like the fact that he's going to be 23 his entire rookie year is just kind of looming over any prediction that we make about like his ceiling. The thing is, I think he's got a good chance to be in the NBA for 10 plus years. So, you know, there's always that. So I don't think there's like a risk of a team being like, oh yeah, this guy's actually like really old or anything like that. But with our team and the length of the runway we're looking to create for ourselves, that's the only question. I mean, that's literally the only question I have, whether or not we would pick him.
Man, you bring up a really good point, and I want to say this about that, is that I feel like this team right now is at that turning point. This could be the last draft that we actually try to utilize our draft picks if they are not like in the top 7 or top 5 or whatever Sam tries to do, trading draft picks to other teams. I think there's a really good chance that this is the turning point. We're going to grab as many athletes as we possibly can in this draft to help us get through, because the reality is that this, we could pick up 4 players in this draft that could be better than any first rounders that we pick up in the next 3 or 4 drafts. That's significant. Why not get as many of those picks as you possibly can, cash in on them, as many as you can on them, and then just go try to surround this team with a better team every year with those draft picks that you have. And again, this is why Sam Presti's there and I'm not there, but I look at this like this, is that we have at least a 8-year running start right now. The way that Sam has done everything, if we were Boston or the 76ers, we would still be in year one of what they are. What they kind of did is they're Boston semi-tank, but the Sixers did a complete tank. If that was the case, it would take us 4 or 5 years. What we saw was a quick turnaround rebuild. And that is what's so exciting about this team, is because now we have a real opportunity to watch them compete. And next year, they will make the playoffs if we stay healthy. And that is something that's really exciting, to watch a young team make their playoffs for the first time.
Yeah, and that's what we're looking forward to. it may not be next year, but God, we hope it is, because this team, really, they work too hard not to have the reward of the playoffs. I don't think there should be a season where SGA ever plays and he feels like they don't have a chance to make the playoffs. So I'm hoping that we keep it going. I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing what happens with the next phase of this team. Obviously, we have a couple of deals looming over us. This upcoming deal to put Al Horford really wherever he wants to go, that's the next thing to the next shoe to fall. So what do you have, Dave? What you got on that?
Well, and this is, again, all speculation to the complications of what we're trying to accomplish is making teams clear money off their decks and add players that are going to make them better. I really looked at three teams in the East and I said, okay, how can the Celtics, Cavs, and Wizards get better? How can each one of them help their jumpstart and help the value? Think about what happened with Kevin Love there with Cleveland. He kind of became still stagnant in the aspect of not playing often. We all know the relationship that he has with Russell Westbrook, and that is something that Mark and I really wanted to circle, is the relationship factor. Is what can the Washington Wizards do to get better and clear money off their cap so they can go out and make reunions with players that have played with Russ or Scott Brooks or the assistant coaches? So we did a real deep dive on how they could clear the money off. And then all of a sudden we realized that they could pick up Kevin Love and still clear some money off of their salary cap. So we started breaking down how much money that could do. Once we started realizing that, we realized that Boston obviously is going to make a strong push towards Al Horford. We all know it. It's going to happen. It's just inevitable. We all know it. So when that happens, if Kemba Walker still wants out of Boston and Brad Stevens decides that this is the time to get rid of him when he has a little bit of value and he can get in return Al Horford and save $9 million in the process, this is a big thing for him because, again, this is saving him money. Now, where the money is going to get thrown at is the Cleveland Cavaliers obviously are going to pick up $36 million. So they're going to go plus $5 million for the Kevin Love swap and Kemba Walker swap. But the money that we're going to see is we're going to see something in like the return of a Thomas Bryant, Davis Bertans, and Danny Avardi. This is something that we would end up inevitably returning just because to make the money right. And here's the reality. I don't know what or if even we would want a lot of draft picks in return at this point. If we were able to capitalize and trade out two draft picks essentially and get a player at the small forward that plays a small forward position like Danny does, as well as a very seasoned, very good power forward that would help us out and help Isaiah Roby become a better player in that position. To me, this is a no-brainer if we got put in this position. And if we got a draft pick or two, I wouldn't be hating. But the reality is that this is an opportunity for this team to do something crazy. And Mark said it good. He said he didn't think that the Washington Wizards would trade Danny. But I asked him, would you rather a top 20 pick in this draft or would you rather Danny? And there's more players in this draft that have all-star potential. Both Mark and I agree that maybe this draft would be a better chance to get a better player for that team than keeping Danny, where Danny would probably be a late first rounder, if not a second rounder in this draft if he waited one more year. So that's what we're looking at. That's the reality of what we're sitting at. And who really knows what's going to happen. But man, it's going to get crazy. It's going to be like the Wild Wild West out there for a while teams try to figure out how they can save money so they can sign free agents, which are great, great role players. There is a lot of them. There is a ton of old six men that are available right now. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting suggestion, you know, getting Kevin Love an opportunity to go out and pull a Blake Griffin and suddenly get better when he's not on a bad team. That would be great to see. Kevin Love was a really exciting player, and obviously the Wizards have some needs that they need to address if they're going to be taken seriously They need to figure out a way to get in the top half of the Eastern Conference, so, or at least the playoff picture, so they can get home court advantage. That would really put them in a spot where people, you know, would feel like they could get out of the first round. So Kevin Love, I think, is one of those pieces. I think it would be really cool to see maybe Cameron Payne end up reuniting with Russ, and so they could start doing their dances again. That was probably my favorite part ever. And Scotty Brooks, that's right. So I would like to see that. Hopefully we can see that happen, because I think the world needs more of that.
No doubt, man. This is, again, what we're doing is we're looking at the people that are going to be available, or that could be in a situation where they get bought out of their contracts or get traded and then bought out. Obviously, there's going to be some of them, because Chris Paul wants $100 million. That means that there is going to be a team that is going to be looking at a buyout situation with one of their players and a trade scenario with a couple of the other players to open the room. Obviously, the Suns are in a position that they could do this deal with Chris Paul and the bird rights, and obviously they could just take on all the extra salary cap and make it work. But here's the thing that I'm thinking about. I'm really thinking about this. The way that the NBA is constantly changing, Mark and I have said a couple times, especially in the last, I want to say, 3 years, Mark, you and I said that there's going to be a draft that's going to blow our mind. That's going to be like the 2003 draft, because all these old players right now, they're leaving the NBA. There's no like legit number one player. Like after Michael Jordan, you can look at Kobe being one of those players. You could look at LeBron James being one of those players after Kobe. But it's really hard to look at the NBA and say, okay, this is the next ultra star. Here's the thing about this draft. There is a huge possibility that we could be looking at 2 or 3 or even 4 ultra stars in this draft. If that is the case, they're all not going to be 1 through 4. That is not how it's going to go. That's going to be probably, you know, a couple in the top 5 and a couple scattered out throughout the draft, like every great draft that has ever been there. So having multiple drafts in this draft is huge. And if Sam Presti continues to gobble up draft picks and get players and assets, it's going to be insane to see how he is able to structure this team. Obviously, there's a lot of questions of what this team's going to look like after Al leaves. Mark and I have talked about if Kenny Hustle had the opportunity to play for the Lakers, we would love for him to be able to do that and get a champion, or at least have an opportunity to get a championship. Obviously, that's something that would suck, but he could leave anyways next year or the year after, whatever it is, and the year after. So if that's the case, like, why not give him an opportunity while he's playing well to do something like that? And maybe he'll come back around after the year that he plays with the Lakers and plays with this team again. So sometimes you got to let players go and roll the dice. Happened with Utah with Derek Favors. It's happened a lot in the NBA where teams trade players and they end up deciding to go back and play with that old team.
Yeah, I mean, that would be really interesting, and I think it's a great suggestion. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it all goes. Obviously, we're getting close to that draft lottery, and we're getting closer to figuring out, you know, what we're going to have. So that's obviously really exciting. So we appreciate you sticking with us all summer as we get closer and closer to getting to that draft and starting the next season, which is actually coming up way faster than it normally does. So, you know, we're enjoying watching the playoffs. Today, the Clippers lost the second game to the Utah Jazz. That was a pretty crazy game. The Jazz have the lead, and they're up 2-0 in the series. That was really interesting. And then obviously, the Nets game versus the Bucks was just outstanding. It was great to see Blake Griffin out there playing like 35 minutes, I think. His defense was on point. I've never seen him play defense that much. Pretty amazing to see. The overall score, though, that was 86-83. The Bucks won that game, so they're able to get a game, and now they're not in quite as dire situation. That's pretty impressive for them, considering how that game went. great to see Justin Jackson out there on the bench for them. You know, he helped us out win a game and or two. So hopefully he has the same chance to help out the Bucks. I'm not sure he's going to get that chance, but at least like we called it whenever he left the team or he was cut from the team, that was probably the best situation for him because it would put him in a spot to be on a playoff team, and it did. So that's awesome.
Yeah, man. Again, anytime that we get to see an ex-Thunder player play in the playoffs, and this year there seems to be a shit ton of them. Obviously, it just happens. You know, we drafted Bledsoe. He didn't play with the Thunder, but we drafted Bledsoe. We've seen so many players in the last couple of years that have gone through and played in the playoffs. You know, Holiday now instead of Bledsoe. But the reality is that we've seen a lot of players come through the Oklahoma City system, and now seeing them have success should be an indicator that we're doing things right and just getting the right team put together and going and competing and keeping them together for a few years is going to be the key, because we don't want to just go to the playoffs. We don't want to just have an MVP. We don't want to just have all-stars. We want rings. We want motherfucking rings. That's what we want as Thunder fans. That's what Sam wants. That's what the players want. We don't want to sit there and count how many rings we get. But the reality is that if we get that opportunity, we're going to be fucking rolling in those rings.
Man, I'm looking forward to it. I really believe that this management has what it takes to lead us there. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this team develops into that. And I really hope Davion Mitchell is a part of that, you know? So I appreciate everybody taking the time to join us for The Last Storm. My name is Mark, and we appreciate the fact that you took the time to join us. Once again, this episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Thanks again, and we'll see you tomorrow.